day-o, day-o, daylight come and me want to go home.
Tally me banana, da-da-da-da-da.
I don't know if those were the right words.
No, they weren't. They weren't.
Banana. They just got one word in there. Banana.
Maybe. It's a really cool song.
It is. I like it.
So cool that you just love to spontaneously sing it.
Once in a while, I do. I just break out on the song.
Hey, there's nothing.
But not now.
You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Guys doing?
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most industry tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we happen to stumble across. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right, and we bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We have a couple of topics prepared, but that doesn't prevent us from going off the beaten path. We thank you for joining us on this week's journey, on this week's meal for your mind, if you will. That is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We got a couple of topics to get to in the world of sports, entertainment, and odd news. But before we hit those valuable topics, we'd like to do a little personal introduction as to what we've been up to in the past week since we last did a show. So, Mike, how you doing? We're coming up on 4th of July.
Yes,
we
are.
Looking forward to it. What's up?
Yeah, 4th of July is always fun. We always have a, you know, cookout and we eat lots of food.
Yes, of course.
We usually don't really do anything crazy for the 4th of July because it's usually 4th of July my birthday combo.
Yeah.
So it's always the same thing every year. Not that it's a bad thing, but it's just the same thing every year. But I love cookouts.
Yes.
Like hot dogs and hamburgers. I can put away a lot of hot dogs and hamburgers. And ribs, having ribs.
Apparently you're not the only one.
And I've been waiting all week to have a hot dog and a hamburger.
We're going to talk to your dad in the entertainment entree.
That's coming up later in the episode.
Yep.
But this past weekend was fun. We had a little game night here with some friends. That was a lot of fun. I have to say, if nobody's played Fun Employed or Fun Employment, it goes by both names, you guys should check out that card game.
Yes.
That was riotous fun. I thought.
Yes. Can you explain what the game is?
Yeah, so it's essentially a card game in which it's sort of like those games where one person's the judge and everybody sort of competes to gain the judge's favor and have them pick them as the winner. But the main concept of this game is that the judge is an employer who's looking to fill a particular role. So one of the roles could be like superhero or movie star or whatever. And everybody else draws qualification cards with examples of different qualifications, like could be, and it's always like something weird and random, like somebody, one of the cards was like sob story, and one of the cards was like chronic masturbator, you know, and you had
sounds like a Florida odd news story.
Exactly. So you had to take the qualification cards in your hand and try and make the best pitch, the best interview pitch to the employer and try to convince them why you're the best fit for that job. And let me tell you, we got really into it. We were doing accents and we were play acting stuff. It was a riot. So you guys got to check out Fun Employed. If you have a good group of creative people to play games with, I would suggest that game.
Yeah, it's a very good improv game, I feel like.
It is. It's super good for improv.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. We have a great group where everybody's doing accents and everybody's acting stuff out. You know, I thought it was a good time. But I also played another game. A video game, Jurassic World Evolution. This is that park builder game that I've been talking about.
Basically, Roller Coaster Tycoon meets Jurassic Park.
Exactly. That game is fantastic. You won't like it if you don't like Jurassic Park because the mechanics are not that great. But it's always just a thrill to create a dinosaur. And every time you release a dinosaur, this is the best part of the game. It has a special camera angle, and it plays music, and there's, like, great lighting, and it comes out, and it does its like roar or sound effect or whatever it does, and it's always so freaking majestic. I can't stand it. It is amazing. No, it's really cool to watch this T-Rex like lumber out of the enclosure, and it does its classic roar, and it's like the camera's like set on the ground, this like wide angle shot. It's like it's incredible. They put so much effort into that and no effort into game balance. What?
You kind of sound like a 13-year-old that just learned a word, what majestic meant, because you were just like, it was so freaking majestic.
It is. It is, though. It's the best word to describe it. I'm playing the game. Fair enough. This is so majestic. This is so but no, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun opening all the gates to the animal pens and letting them run out and kill everyone in the park. That's a lot of fun.
Okay.
The dinosaurs starts fights with each other sometime. It's a great game, but I've been doing that. And I finished GLOW Season 2. They're very fast seasons. They're 10 30-minute episodes. So it's 5 hours and the whole season's done.
Oh, yeah, so you can easily binge-watch it.
Oh, yeah, that's what I did this weekend. I finished all of GLOW Season 2. It was really, really good. The characters are so enjoyable. Every single character is just very quirky, very funny. But they have relatable, you know, emotional baggage, and every character feels alive. They don't feel phony. They feel like real people, which is strange because it's a show about wrestling. But that's one of the best parts about it, is that their wrestling alter egos often clash with their real counterparts. That's like one of the themes there. It's like one person always has to be this perfect example of American patriotism and like the perfect wife and the perfect mother, and in real life she's like really struggling to hold it all together. So just watching that contrast, that dichotomy, is really fun. And Alison Brie, I just can't say enough good things about her. She plays a Russian character as her wrestler, and you know I have an affinity and a love for Russian accents. So watching Alison Brie do Russian accents and, you know, do this play acting, it's a great show.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take actually the last three things that you've said, and I'm going to flip it in another way because of what I did this weekend.
Okay.
Yeah.
What did you do this weekend?
So the three things that you covered were dinosaurs, wrestling, and Russian accents.
Yes. Oh my God.
Right. I kind of did it the other way. Because over the weekend, I was invited by our good friend Bob Kaplan, who's been on the podcast a couple times before. He told me, hey, we're shooting another indie film, and you know, we need extras. If you're not doing anything on Sunday, come on down, and here's the location. And I was like, oh, it happened to work out. I didn't have any events or concerts or anything, so I got to the location, and I didn't like put two and two together. But it was actually at the training center that they have for combat zone wrestling.
Okay.
And I was just like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. Like, this is where they all train before they, you know, become.
Is that the one where they like break like glass over each other? And
yeah, in the super hardcore fights. Yes.
Yeah.
This was the strict training center. This wasn't any weapons or anything.
Okay.
No.
Okay. No. But that is that wrestling league, right?
Yes.
You showed me one where somebody broke like one of those like long like light bulbs over somebody.
Yeah, they get
violent,
very violent. But no, this was the training center, so this was all nothing like that. But it was really cool. And the reason why I say dinosaurs is part of it is because the storyline in this movie that's being made is that dinosaurs actually take human form and wrestle each other. It's a weird concept.
No,
but
that's an amazing concept.
Yeah, right, yes. I personally found it amazing. So I was there, and originally I was just like, you know, I'll do whatever you want, you know. But beforehand, I actually, like, texted Bob. I was just like, hey, I have an old referee's jersey in the garage. You need a referee?
Of course you do. Of course you do.
Why not?
That makes perfect sense. If someone's like, does Rich have a ref outfit? I'd be like, yeah, I'm like 70%. I'm like 70% sure he probably has that.
Yeah, you know, why not? Just in case I need the ref.
Right, of course.
You know?
You moonlight as an underground wrestling referee.
Correct. Just in case. Whatever you need me to do. So
did you go dress up as a ref?
So I brought it with me.
Okay.
And they were like, actually, yeah, you're right. We need a referee. We didn't have anybody to be the referee. So I was like, okay.
Wow.
So I put on the referee shirt. And while I was doing that, there were a couple of CCW wrestlers, and they were actually like showing me the ropes of like how, like, you know, if you were actually doing this for a match, you know, what you should be doing, you know, what are the, you know, basics. And
that must have been so cool for you. Yeah. Because I know you're really into wrestling. And I mean, I know you're really into wrestling. Like, you used to play the video games and make the storylines and all that stuff. And you always talk about it here on the podcast. So that must be like living out like
it was
a fantasy type thing then.
It was pretty cool. And it was just really cool to just get into an actual like ring.
Yeah.
You know,
but also to be like the dude running it, kind of, right? Because you're like, I mean, it's scripted, but you're the ref.
Right. You're not really running it, though. It's really just more you're making sure things are going to plant. Like, you're not the star of it.
That's running it. That's you're described a manager in, like, every U.S. mid-sized business.
I guess. I don't know. Because the way I view it is you're not supposed to – you're one of the things about being the ref is you're not supposed to be the star of it either.
Right.
So you have to stay back, and you're supposed to – be out of frame unless there's something that's actually going to go down, like, oh, she's in the corner too long, or submission hold or something like that. So I mean I don't know, you're not really running it, though. But anyway, whatever. Okay. The point is, though, you're still involved, though.
Yeah.
And I got to go in the ring, and, you know, I got to run around the ropes and everything. it was just really unique. I don't know how to put it, but it was just amazing to be in an actual ring, and you know, I got to go on the second rung of the ropes and everything, because I don't want to be on the top one, because,
well, you have to actually
dangerous.
Balance
that's,
on the
that's
top
very
one.
Dangerous.
On the second one, you can sort of like lean against the top one.
Yeah,
on the top one, and you just got to balance right.
I never realized how tall it is.
Yeah, you were showing me a picture.
By the way, I have a couple of pictures on my Twitter if you want to, and my Instagram if you want to check it out. Yeah, things that you never realize is, first off, the actual ring is a good distance off of the ground, and then the actual rungs of the ropes are pretty high. I just never realized it.
You never really like thought about it in terms of like physical space,
right? Like, if you fall off the top rope, you are going to get hurt.
Wow,
you better have.
That must be like a good 10 feet up there.
Yeah, you're. Yeah, you fall the wrong way, it's an injury.
Wow.
So I don't know. You said it to me off air that it just brought a new respect for the whole process. I was just like, wow, this is like things that I never thought of was just wow. I never realized how high the actual top rope is, and you know, I'm running back and forth off of the ropes, and like I realize
you're bouncing off the ropes.
Yeah, and I'm realizing, yeah, the ropes are stronger than I thought it was. You know, it's hitting you on the back. I don't know. It was just really surreal, and I had a lot of fun. And I want to thank all the guys at Combat Zone Wrestling for showing me the ropes while I was in their arena filming this scene and everything like that. So, got all the pictures up on my Twitter. Search at Rich Liebig, and you'll be able to find it. So, dinosaurs, wrestling, and then the third thing you mentioned, Russian accents.
Yeah, where does this come into play?
Because while I was there, the superstar cameo of the movie shoot that I was doing is actually, they actually somehow managed to wrangle WWE legend Nikolai Volkov to make an appearance in this film. And for those that don't know, Nikolai Volkov was the original tag team member with the Iron Sheik.
Okay, we know Iron Sheik here on the podcast.
And this is ridiculous. He was one of the main villains that WWF had in the 80s.
He's a big name because I saw on his shirt, it said WWE Hall of Fame.
Yes,
of course. So I know he's a big shot.
Yes. He's in the WWE Hall of Fame. But he was just such a cool dude. I got to talk with him a little bit, you know, while we're waiting for our scenes to be shot. And, he was so kind enough. He was just very cool, chilled back, gave us some excellent stories. And you know, I'm just shooting the breze with him. And I just asked him, you know, if you got some extra time while we're waiting, do you want to shoot something for, my podcast that I do? And he was kind enough to actually do it. And this is, what he said for us. And it's going to be, I assure you, starting next week, it's going to be our new, bumper for our breaks here.
I'm Nikolai Volkov. I want you to keep listening to Crispy Noodle. That is order.
And that is order.
I like that. And that is order.
Yes.
You have to isolate just that part and use that for, you know, odd news stories or whatever. That is order.
So he was just such a cool guy.
That's awesome that he did that for you.
Yeah. And
now we have an awesome clip.
Right. We have a WWE legend giving us one of our breaks.
That's great.
So
we got comedians and superheroes and WWE legends and twaddle.
Yeah. They're twaddle.
He's in good company.
Yeah, that's right. There you go. We got
it's a great combo we got.
I'm going to have to tell him that.
You got to contact him and be like, "Hey, do you realize
you are an elite group of company right now with our podcast breaks?"
Yeah.
You're Victy Potato, Guardian Shield, and Nikolai Volkov, and then Eric Twaddle.
The legendary Eric Twaddle.
Of course. Holding his own.
Yeah. Well, he's the coolest one among them, I think.
Yes. Yeah. So,
He's on the show.
Yeah, he's come on the podcast and helped us out.
Twice or three times. Yeah. Two times. Yeah.
Shout out to Twaddle.
Why not?
But yeah, so it's been a crazy weekend for me as well.
Yeah.
Of course, not to mention 4th of July is coming up this week too.
I know,
so
that's right around the corner. The party doesn't stop, just like here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We have a lot to get to. First up, we're going to hit you with some sports news in the Sports Sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face! Ha ha!
Sports coming at you in your face in this first part of the show. And we're going to hit a couple topics as fast as we can in 2 minutes or less. Time for the two-minute drill. You ready, Mike?
Let's do it.
All right. The clock is now on. What do you have for us?
All right. Well, this week in the two-minute drill, we have some football news. This is actually a little bit of sad football news. Not sad football news, but disappointing football news. Eagles linebacker Nigel Bradham, one of the best on the team, actually, was suspended for one game for a two-year-old incident in July 2016. He was accused of punching a South Beach Hotel employee after an argument and breaking the man's nose. He accepted a deferred prosecution and did not get jail time. However, the NFL still felt necessary that he should face some sort of repercussions for the incident, and so he's been suspended for one game. One game isn't too bad, but you shouldn't be punching people in the face.
No, and this kind of worries me because the Eagles are kind of already thin at linebacker.
They are.
This is going to hurt during that first game.
Yeah, hopefully the Eagles can find a solution. I know Jordan Hicks will be coming back. They just have to get through that one game, and then they'll get Bradham back. But he's got to stay on the straight and narrow because this is a few off-the-field incidents that he's had.
Yeah.
Hopefully the last of them.
Yeah,
you
stop
me?
It.
You hear me, Bradham? Chill, bro.
That is order,
yes.
Stop it.
But on the lighter side of things, Eagles head coach Doug Peterson won a friendly bet against the Saints head coach Sean Payton during a golf tournament. The end result is that the Eagles get to wear their home uniforms when they travel to New Orleans to play the Saints later this year. That's fun. That's a friendly bet. You know what? We're really good in our midnight green uniforms, so that'll be some good luck there in the Superdome. And this also combines two of your passions of football and golf.
Yes, if you're, you know, why not? Don't do wimpy, you know, $5 wagers. No, put something meaningful on the line.
Yeah.
Have some fun.
You have to up the stakes here.
Doug Peterson's
choice of
a competitor.
Uniform.
Yeah.
he also won another bet in which I believe the Eagles coaches get food from New Orleans shipped to them.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Free food. There you go. 2 minute drill. Sounds pretty good in my opinion.
Especially that free New Orleans food. That sounds pretty good. Cajun cooking. And
it sounds pretty tasty to me.
Yeah.
All right.
You know what else is tasty?
The more sports news?
No, the NBA free agency.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that's where you were going with this.
Yeah, we've got some tasty morsels here. I mean, the NBA world has been a buzz with free agency, primarily over LeBron watch.
Yes. You know, it started on Friday when he...
You sound so excited, Rich.
Oh, man. This is just ridiculous. So, yeah, first things first. LeBron James, he opted out of his contract with Cleveland on Friday, just as we said on the podcast last week.
Yep.
And that started LeBron Watch 2018.
Wait, you mean LeBron doesn't want to stay in Cleveland where nobody cares or makes any effort?
No, apparently
crazy.
Not. Yeah.
Anyway.
So, he shuns the final year on his contract and becomes an unrestricted free agent. And everybody was commenting, oh, is he going to go to Philly? Is he, you know, is he going to go to New York? You know, all these different locations. But in the end, I was right. And I correctly predicted, of course, he was going to take his talents to Los Angeles. It makes sense because he wants to be the biggest NBA player of all time. So why not go to a big major market team and try and help them find their winning ways, which they haven't been there in over 5 years. They haven't been in the playoffs in 5 years. Boy, such a long playoff drought.
I know. Poor Lakers.
Yeah.
They only have the most winning franchise in basketball, I think. Yep. Or they have the most championships.
Yep. And, you know, yeah, God forbid they haven't won a playoff series in so long. So LeBron has decided to take his talents to L.A., become a major star in arguably the biggest city, especially for basketball. It all makes sense, in my opinion. I pretty much thought this was the way it was going
to
go.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he likes the spotlight. He likes to be the center of attention. So where better to get that than L.A.? And, you know, we joke about the playoff drought there, but they apparently are very desperate. They gave him a monster. Oh, hold on.
Oh, no.
Listen to how desperate they are. They gave him a monster four-year, $154 million deal.
Yep.
That is insane. That's what? Math big. That's $40 million a year.
That is math big.
Yeah, I couldn't do the – I needed a second to crunch the numbers.
Yes.
And that's what you came up with?
In my 1 gigabit gigabyte of RAM up in my head, that's almost $40 million
math big
a year.
I like it.
Math big. This is a
– You sound like a caveman. Math big. World small.
Thanks,
Podcast,
Rich.
Podcast, listen.
Thanks, Rich. I'm a caveman now. Thanks, buddy. No, it's true. It's true.
It's fine.
What did I say about soccer? This is stupid.
Yeah, soccer, stupid. Math, big.
Math, big. But yeah, math, big. Contract, big. LeBron James, big in the basketball world. I mean, what is this? The big question on my mind is, what does this do for the Eastern Conference?
It's pretty much zaps all strength from the Eastern Conference, which is good for Philadelphia.
Well, we became the default number two team.
Yeah.
Which is really mind-boggling.
In a way, for LeBron not coming to Philadelphia, the way this has gone down is actually probably the best way that it could have gone down for the 76ers besides them actually picking up LeBron James. Because
this
now,
is the second best option, yeah.
Right. Now, the Sixers will not face LeBron James unless they get to the NBA Finals and meet him in the Finals.
All of a sudden, it's looking good for the Sixers.
Right.
They've
now jumped up to the second best team in the Eastern Conference.
In the course of this podcast, we've talked about, I mean, this podcast the past 5 years, we've talked about the Sixers losing so badly, we were questioning whether they could break double-digit wins.
Yep.
To now they're the second best team in the Eastern Conference.
Yep.
That is, well, we did the same thing with the Eagles, too.
Yes.
And next year, who knows, we might be talking about another championship, but this time, a basketball one.
Yeah.
If they can beat whatever team from the Western Conference makes the finals.
Right.
Which
so,
is another big problem.
Yes. So, what we're trying to get at here is the talent pool is horribly off balance right now. You have practically just the hope that the Sixers process is going to come to fruition, and that for Boston, the other major team in the Eastern Conference, that their stars are going to align and they'll stay healthy and make a run deep into the playoffs as well. That's pretty much it for the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
Maybe Toronto too. Toronto's got a little bit of a budding talent as well.
Right.
They got a little bit of a trust the process thing too. But even then, that's it.
It pales in comparison to the talent in the West.
The Western Conference right now, this is ridiculous. You have Golden State Warriors. You have the Houston Rockets, which, by the way, Houston Rockets finished with the best record in the Western Conference.
Jeez.
A lot of people forget about that. That's
yeah,
how good they were.
That.
Yeah, that's how good they were last year. You now have LeBron joining the Lakers. Denver was already an up-and-coming team, but now you just got sidetracked down to fourth place. Like, the yeah. balance not is to mention, skewed heavily on yeah. the Western Conference.
Not to mention a few last-minute additions. Four-time All-Star Rajon Rondo also signed with the Lakers.
That's correct.
That's even more talent. There's rumors that, now this could change, but Kawhi Leonard could be traded to or signed with the Lakers as well.
Yeah, that's still a rumor at this
that's,
point.
That's, I think, a slim chance there, and that'll probably change, but...
But the point is right now, the Western Conference is ridiculously stacked.
Yeah.
And people are beginning to question, should the NBA consider some sort of playoff realignment or playoff changes? Because you're probably going to have whatever the Western Conference final, whoever wins that is probably going to be the champion. Because right now, the yeah. Eastern Conference is pathetic.
I mean, we saw how Golden State handled the Cavaliers.
Yeah.
And they handled them.
Right.
Oh, man, it wasn't even a contest for most of those games. I mean, you know, Steph...
And it's going to get worse.
It is going to get worse. Do we want to jump to this breaking
yeah,
news?
Yeah, you know what?
It's hard to talk about realignment without hitting people with this.
Yeah.
I mean, this came out like 30 minutes before we started recording this.
Right. This is ridiculous, too. DeMarcus Cousins officially has signed a one-year deal to join the Golden State Warriors. He's a little bit banged up right now, but it still means that he has the potential to join an already stacked Warriors team.
This is just
halfway through the season.
This is just the stupidest news bulletin I've ever seen.
Because right
stupid
now,
stupid because it's completely like if somebody were to write a fiction about this, you'd be like, that would never happen,
and it did.
But as it currently stands, the five starters of the Golden State Warriors are all NBA All-Stars.
Yes,
they could field an entire NBA All-Star team
right
with
now.
Their five starters.
Yes.
That is ludicrous.
Yes.
It's even more ludicrous. I actually went, Rich, and I looked up all the numbers, how many All-Star games that each of these guys have been to.
I don't know. You, Mr. Math Big over there.
I math big for this one.
It's Math Bigly.
I math bigly for this one. Steph Curry has five All-Star appearances. Kevin Durant has 9. Draymond Green has 3. Klay Thompson has 4. DeMarcus Cousins has 4. And let's not forget, Andre Iguodala is still the 6th man. He has an All-Star appearance. That's 26 combined All-Star appearances between their 6 main players.
Yes.
And their 5 starters have all been to the last 2 All-Stars in a row. That, like, what is happening?
What's the meaning of this?
Yeah, that's what I feel like right now.
Yeah. Their 5 starters have a combined 25 All-Star appearances.
This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And...
I have a question for you. You know more about basketball than I do.
Yes.
How does this happen? Is there no cap?
Well,
is there no restrictions?
It's a soft salary cap.
What does that even mean?
That there is a salary cap, but you pay more penalties and fines as opposed to you can't do it.
So basically, there's no cap.
And players have more rights than they do in football. So you're comparing this to football. So football
right.
has...
Because this could never fly in football, really.
Right. Football, all the power's with the team.
Yeah.
The team, and there's a strict salary cap. You can't yeah. go... The moment the salary cap is set, all teams have to abide by it. Have
right.
to abide by it, period. No ifs, ands, or buts.
And there's other things in place, too, like a veteran minimum, and, you know, when they sign rookies, there's a pay scale. Like, there's contract... bylaws in place
yeah.
that restrict how teams structure these things.
Right. NBA has a very favorable system for the players.
Yeah, well, 4 years for $160 million almost.
For LeBron, yeah.
Yeah. But then DeMarcus Cousins, who's, you know, a four-time All-Star, he signs a one-year $5 million deal, taking a massive pay cut.
Right, just so he can join
just so he can
the
win
Warriors,
a couple of championships.
And they'll probably win a championship with him.
Do we just give them the trophy now? Like, what's the protocol?
Right. This is what I freaking advocated against. All right. This is the area. This is the era we live in.
This problem goes way beyond LeBron. Like, this story started as a LeBron thing. And I know you think that LeBron popularized the big three. And
no, he popularized super teams.
Okay.
That's what bothers me.
Okay. There have been super teams in the past, but yes, he has popularized.
Not the, like this. This is a new era we are in.
I suggest that we need to shift the blame from LeBron to Steph Curry in this case. Because the Golden State Warriors, what?
All right.
They hold on. You hate the Patriots for this. We have to look at the Golden State Warriors as the Patriots of the NBA. What is to stop them? They're the evil empire.
Well, I would say they're more like the Yankees because they're literally just acquiring talent just because people want to join them to win a championship.
So shouldn't we hate them like the Yankees?
Yes.
Why do we not?
No. Go. No, I here's my thing. The door was opened when LeBron James did the whole decision thing to Miami. That was the door opening and letting the era of super teams reign supreme. The moment he got away with that and he won two titles, which I think are kind of lame in my opinion. That's when you started this ridiculous era. So Stephon Curry is taking, and the Golden State Warriors are taking advantage of this new era where you can just buy talent
at half the cost
because the talent themselves want a championship because they feel like they're never going to get a championship if they don't join the team.
But they're taking it to such an extreme level.
And it's stupid.
Like, here's the thing.
I'm with you. I don't like it either.
LeBron had a big three, but they still had to work for it. It's not like they automatically won. They had to work.
I don't know.
Time out.
Who else was in the Eastern Conference? I don't know.
They still had to work for it, and he definitely had to work for it when he won with the Cavaliers. So,
yes, that one counts.
And and furthermore, I'll just say this. Celtics did it. Lakers did it. Miami did it back when they got Shaq and Dwayne Wade. There have been super combos before.
But not like this. And also with this explicit purpose of getting the monkey off of the back. That's another thing. These players are literally signing up to the teams just so they can check off that box. Oh, I don't have a ring yet. Oh, I don't have a ring yet. Oh, well, guess what? If I join this super team, then I can check that box off.
Okay. Well, regardless,
that was his only motivation for. That was really the driving force for him going to Miami.
Is it wrong for a player to want that though? Because I think you're faulting him for something that all players would want to do.
It is in terms of the fact that he realized he couldn't do it in Cleveland. And he had to skedaddle and ride the coattails of Miami Heat, which were rising up at the time.
I don't think he rode the coattails. I think he was a key contributor.
I don't know. I would say he was more of a coattail.
Time out. There's a big difference if you're like a bench warmer and you're riding coattails rather than, being a third of the offense. Those are two completely different things. But that's neither here nor there because the real issue here is the fact that regardless of whether LeBron started this new trend or not, Curry, well,
he did.
It was a thing before. Yes,
it was this degree.
Hold on. It's been heightened, but it's not a new concept.
No,
it's not a new concept.
No, I would have to disagree with you on that.
It's not a new concept, though.
But not in terms of a specifically.
What are the names? Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, and the other guy with the Celtics. They did it. The Lakers did it with Kobe and big guy Shaq, and they had another guy. It's been a concept that your revered Michael Jordan did it. They all had these tandems, these groupings players.
But they came together more organically. They came through the ranks. It was more of them working together and synthesizing their talents together, and coming together.
What about Shaq going to Miami to win another one?
Well, Shaq, he couldn't deal with Kobe anymore. That was why he got out of LA.
So do we fault Shaq for that?
No, that's not what I'm saying. No, you're mixing apples and oranges here.
I'm not mixing apples. I'm mixing two types of apples.
Because
they're all very similar. I'm just saying that the concept is not new. LeBron brought it into the 21st century. I'll give you that. But the concept has always existed. He made it this new thing. But the real key here is that Steph Curry has taken it a step further. He's changed.
You're saying that. See, my thing is the step further has came with LeBron James.
I don't think so. There was still competition. Now there's no competition. You have to look at it. LeBron.
There really wasn't any for LeBron when he joined Miami Heat.
Oh, come on. Then they would have won every year he was there.
Time out.
Now your blatant hate for LeBron is clouding your judgment, young Padawan.
Oh, really? Oh,
yes.
I'm the young Padawan.
Because
the real
Darth Sidious here is Steph Curry and Golden State.
Steph
Curry.
Yes, okay. He is evil. He's evil. If people hate LeBron for what he did, and people hate the Patriots for what they did, and people hate the Yankees for what they did, how do we not hate the Golden State Warriors for what they're doing? They're bringing five All-Stars with a combined 10 appearances in the last 2 years, 25 appearances overall, to make one team, one starting lineup of all All-Stars. That's ridiculous. LeBron, when he went to Miami, there was still competition. They didn't win every game outright. They didn't win every finals outright. Golden State, people are saying, well, let's just give them the trophy. And not even as a joke.
Well, they were saying that for LeBron when he joined Miami Heat. They were saying, why even bother playing a season?
But there was still competition.
There was
still plenty of competition.
There was when he got to the NBA Finals and he choked against Dallas Mavericks. That was pretty funny.
Out of the two of us, you're the only one that owns a LeBron jersey.
Yeah, that's because you gave it to me, you bastard.
Watch.
Yeah,
watch.
Right, yeah.
You friend.
Yeah, friend.
All I'm saying is I think it's only fair that we level the same amount of hatred towards Steph Curry as we did LeBron.
Sure. Oh yeah. I told you this. I think this whole thing is absolutely messed up. The fact that Golden State can get away with this. Oh yeah.
So what do we do? What does the NBA do to fix this? Because it's become an epidemic now. It became a frustrating little anomaly, but now it's like
every year.
Now it's Golden State has six All-Stars.
Yeah. The Western Conference Final this year is going to be the NBA Final.
Yeah.
I want to know how NBA is actually going to sell the NBA Finals.
They won't.
Yeah.
Their marketing push will be the Western Conference Finals like the NFL did with the Seahawks and the 49ers back when they were both good.
Mm. Yeah, that was a good point, yeah.
That's what their push is going to be. Well, look at the marketing towards this past year's Super Bowl. Nobody wanted the Eagles. They had already printed headlines with Vikings versus Patriots.
Yeah, that's right.
And when that didn't happen, they shifted the narrative to, check out these conference games. They're so exciting. The marketing push is going to be Western Conference Finals.
Well,
it's just crazy. I just get annoyed when people criticize LeBron but then seem to give other people a free pass. And I just want to point out, are we not witnessing what Steph Curry's been doing the past 4 years?
Oh.
Like, he took what LeBron did, and he's like, I'm going to twist it even further until this whole system breaks. He's breaking the system.
Right. And I'm in agreement with you. What Golden State is doing is breaking the system, and it's absolutely just messed
up. This isn't fair to NBA fans.
But.
Unless you're a Golden State fan.
But.
Oh, God.
It all goes back to when LeBron joined Miami in the decision. That was the mark that broke open this whole thing, and it's kind of fitting, and I kind of take glee in it.
I can
tell. That this is what has prevented LeBron James from winning more championships. The monster that he created ended up destroying his chances of winning more championships with Cleveland.
And I mean, I think that's a shame because I don't see him as doing anything egregiously wrong. I see him as doing anything that any rational player would do. I see Steph Curry as taking it a step too far. There's a difference between getting three pretty good players. Let's not pretend like Bosch was some freaking amazing.
He was at the time, yeah.
Okay, what's he done since? Nothing. He's
well,
a washed
yeah, that
up.
Was the end of his career. Yeah, he was in his mid-30s. That was the end of his career.
He was a nobody. He barely contributed.
Okay.
What?
I think you're angling that to your to your preferences there.
No. What I'm saying is there's a big difference between getting three All-Stars and getting six All-Stars all on the same team. There's a big difference. There was still competition with the one.
There is.
Now there's no competition.
There is a difference.
It's a monopoly now.
But there is a difference, but it's not so much when the door is already opened. At that point, every blow of the wind is a draft at that point because LeBron broke the door open.
I would argue that generations past showed him where the door was, and he opened it, and Steph Curry took it off the hinges.
Okay,
that's a fair analogy. Come on, it was always a concept, but I will say I will give you this: LeBron did kick the door in, but the door was there. It's not like he built the door, and Steph Curry's like, I'm just going to take the door out and make it a hole.
And now the whole house is sinking.
And now the whole and the house is the NBA.
Right.
And I feel bad for NBA fans, unless you're the Golden State fans are like, well, I see nothing wrong with this. This is fantastic.
But unfortunately for the casual NBA fan, I don't know how you're going to sell this league coming up.
The NBA has always been stupid. I mean, you know my opinions.
Yes.
If it's not football, it's stupid.
Right.
But the NBA has always been kind of really stupid. Like, you have teams that are below 500 making the playoffs. What I see here is I just see players like LeBron and Steph Curry taking advantage of just a bad playoff system in general.
Yeah, you shouldn't have more than
four teams from each conference make the playoffs.
And to go back to your earlier question, how do you fix it? There needs to be a strict salary cap. There needs to be just like the one in football.
But DeMarcus Cousins only took $5 million a year.
Right, but
like he's a four-time All-Star. That's like, yeah, I'll take a third of what I could get elsewhere.
Right, but at least,
like, how do you fix that?
At least you make the pressure. You put more pressure on these athletes, so that the Lakers, after they sign LeBron, that would pretty much be it. They shouldn't be able to sign anybody else.
Yeah, they shouldn't be able to go get Rajon Rondo and still angle for Kawhi Leonard.
Correct. Yeah. So a strict salary cap would help. And I don't know. At some point, there's going to have to be some sort of regulation from the commissioner or something, because it is. It's going to get ridiculous.
Yeah.
You all the best teams
free
are going to be...
isn't even over.
Right.
Right. Just wait. After we publish this, Kawhi Leonard signs with the Golden State Warriors. And it's like, all right, come on now. Come on now. Joel Embiid signs with the Golden State. Eventually, it's just going to be every big name player.
Right.
And by the way, bring it back to Philly. What the hell are the Sixers going to do now?
Yeah. Well, here's the good.
I was ready for LeBron to come here and complete the process, and they ruined everything.
Well, here's the good part now.
What?
That means we can just coast right into the NBA Finals now, right? There's like nobody else.
The Sixers is like, how did we get here?
Like you said, the Sixers right now are by default now the second best team in the Eastern Conference.
They went from being the worst team to the second best in the Eastern Conference. That's crazy.
Yeah.
The Sixers weren't even this good when they made it to the finals back in 2001. This is the best they've ever been, and it was an accident.
So
this is the world. This is 2018.
Right. This is 2018. This is the world we're living in right now. NBA is going off the rails.
It's just insanity is what it is.
So, yeah. There you go.
Yay, basketball.
The Sixers are now the second best team in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
Woo! Yeah! Thanks, LeBron.
There you go. Thanking the real hero of the story.
Good job. But on that note, we got to end the sports sampler. But don't go anywhere, because coming up next, we got the entertainment entree. We got to check in on your dad. This is the 4th of July podcast.
Yes, we do.
We got to hear what he's up to. And then we got the non-fortune cookie odd news. Still plenty more shows still to come. We'll be right back.
The Crispy Noodle. Always crunching.
Hey, what do you hear? What do you say? This is Vic DiBattista, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
This is Guardian Shield, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Yeah, we are back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We are done the sports sampler, and we are moving right along into our next part of the show. By the way, do you recognize this song, Mike?
No.
No? You should, because it's my favorite band.
Is it Ghost?
Yes.
Okay. I had a feeling it was probably that, but I don't recognize this one per se.
Yes, it's their song Rats, which, by the way, just hit number one on the active rock charts. Yeah!
Wow.
The people are all getting infected with the spirit of Ghost. Yes.
I don't know if infected is the word you want to use.
Well, the song's Rats. That's why I was going.
Oh, yeah. You're doing like a whole plague.
Yes,
thing.
I'm gotcha. Trying to keep the storyline straight,
I know,
Mike.
You're trying to stay within the narrative confines. I get it.
Man, I'm trying to introduce a nice storyline here. Mike's
just ruining it.
Well, all right. I don't know how you're going to be able to handle that, because we got to transform into the next part of the show, which may have to deal with some storylines, because it's time for the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock, especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is.
That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You were the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
No sausages! No sausages! Sausages!
Yes! It's the classic Frank Costanza No Sausages rant for our random sound clip of the week. And you might be asking yourselves, why are we playing a vintage sound clip from my soundboard? And there's one reason for it.
That's right. It's that time of year again. This is the show that's closest to the 4th of July. And everybody that's been a long-time listener knows that my dad made a big splash on the very first 4th of July episode we ever had by barging in the middle of our recording and going on an epic rant about hot dogs, hamburgers, no sausages, and one of his favorite holidays of the year, the 4th of July.
That's right. And as is tradition, for the podcast that's the closest to the 4th of July, we have to relive the great memory that is Mr. Costanzo's No Sausages rant. So are you ready?
I'm ready.
Let's go let's go into the Crispy Noodle archives and re-listen to this glorious piece of audio. One of the few times I've ever been speechless here on the Crispy Noodle podcast. This is Mr. Costanzo's famous No Sausages rant.
It's my dad.
Hey!
We always wanted to get him on the show.
Yeah.
Come here. Come here. Just say something.
Mike apparently has given up on this podcast. How are you doing, Mr. Costanzo?
Tomorrow is the 4th of July, and I've been waiting all week to have a hot dog and a hamburger. And let me tell you, we're going to do it the American way. I'm going to get the hot dog right off the grill, the hamburger hot, right off the grill, instead of waiting, you know, for the whole meal. That's the way I want to do it. It's an American holiday. We're going to have American hamburgers. No sausages. No sausages. No sausages.
Is this because I make fun of Mike on the sausages?
No, we're just, it's American. No sausage.
So sausages aren't American?
And hot dogs and hamburgers are better than sausages. Sausages!
All right, there you go. Official.
Official wrap up there.
And there you go. That's the only thing I could muster at the end of that. Official wrap up there. But without further ado, let's bring him back on. Folks, because it's 4th of July, let's hear from the legend himself, Mr. Frank Costanzo. Ooh. How are you doing, Frank?
I'm good, Rich. Thank you for having me on. It's always a pleasure.
Yes.
I don't know why I went crazy back then, but I guess it was a good thing.
Yes, it was, because, I mean, you don't know how prevalent that is. Whenever we play the sound clips on it, people are like, who is that? And I have to, like, you know, retell the story, and people go, oh, my gosh, like, you need to get them on more often. So you're actually probably the celebrity of the show.
You're the most well-known clip, I think.
No, you guys carry the ball. But it's 4th of July coming up, and I'm the oldest one in the group in our family, so I do rate the sausage. I mean, the hamburger. I get it hot off the grill. Everybody else gets theirs when the rest of the food comes out, but I got mine right off the grill, and it's delicious.
That's right. You've made, like, a big tradition out of that, strangely enough. You make a point of it. Every cookout we do... He is. He's standing
so
there by the grill.
He's actually living. Actually,
he does. Yeah, it's not just
holding true to his word.
Right.
Here.
It's not something he just said like 5 years ago, just willy nilly. Like he actually does that. He waits by the grill. He gets the hamburger, and that's when he has his hamburgers. Like right, like they put it down in the
I'm the
container.
First one.
And he,
yeah. I'm the first one to get the hamburger.
Always the first one. Yeah,
because I'm the oldest. So
yeah, why do you keep bringing that up? Is that yeah? Therefore, you must get it first.
You know, with seniority comes a certain amount of privilege, so.
There you go.
There you go. That's
Suck
right.
it, everybody else.
Yeah.
Frank's here. He wants to eat his hamburgers. anything else you're looking forward to on the menu this year for 4th of July? You got your hamburger? You got hot off the grill? What else do you got?
That's actually pretty much it. I mean, if I get that, I'll be happy. I'm a simple man with simple needs. Hot dog and a hamburger, tomato salad, you know.
There you go. You're good to go.
That's all you need, those three things. I like potato salad. Does anybody else like potato salad?
Yeah. No? Yeah, potato salad's good. Okay. That's good general barbecue food. Yes.
Yeah.
So is there any other traditions that you're looking forward to for 4th of July? Anything else that you like to do?
I like to show off my garden.
Oh, yes. That's always... I was going to ask that next, because you're a big garden fanatic.
Yeah. And this year, it looks pretty good, I have to admit. And I tried something different, which I've been telling everybody about. I hope it works out. But I grew tomatoes from seeds. And what happened was I bought these tomatoes at the Acme. They're called calamari tomatoes.
Does it come with squid?
No. Oh, no. I said calamari. I meant Campari.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, you're throwing me off here. I'm like, what
I got my C's mixed up.
Yeah, what is calamari tomato?
No, that's a mistake. So anyway, and I was interested in growing these, so I Googled it, and I found out that you can't buy the seed. But Google knows everything, so Google said you just slice up the tomatoes, put it on the dirt, cover it up a little bit, and voila, I did that, and they started growing.
So Google told you to do something, and you followed it blindly.
And you know what? The funny thing is, these tomatoes, they look like they were from a textbook. They're beautiful. They're straight. The plant is straight, has a single stem. It branches off. It's a thing of beauty.
are you going to paint it? You should probably... At least take a photo of it.
Yeah, you know, I should do that. I should take a photo of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty impressive that you grew this from, because when you say grow from seed, I guess everybody's thinking like, well, don't you grow all plants from seeds? But no, you actually cut up the tomato and put the tomato in the dirt and grow it from the seeds that are in the tomato.
It's actually quite hard to grow a tomato. You have to have a cold frame or a greenhouse or something. So I'm quite pleased that this worked out. So.
What other things have you grown in your garden?
The usual zucchini, cucumber, basil, hot pepper. I know you guys were talking earlier about the ghost pepper. I think you can actually grow that. Next year I'm going to do it.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
But who?
Bruno's going to be
happy
at that.
Nobody's
going
to eat it except for JB. Yeah,
Bruno will eat it.
Are you going to try a piece?
No, we're going to trick people and just put it in the
Wow, that's really, really devious and kind of dangerous, Dad. Have some pepper.
You put a little bit in the salad. And
nobody's going to notice, right? Until they have chemical burns on their lips.
Yeah, it's only 100 times hotter than habanero, you know.
Yeah, no big deal.
It's a little tiny thing.
It's probably a fallacy.
Well, I guess we're going to test it, aren't we?
Yes.
Great.
Wow.
I'm not going to eat any peppers.
Yeah, now everybody knows not to accept any peppers from my dad next year.
Yeah. Here's something I want to ask you.
Okay.
So I know for a fact you guys do a big family vacation down the shore. What are you looking forward to when you go on vacation down the shore?
I mean, just not working.
Yeah, that's good. That is number one. That's one number one.
And
priority.
I love to swim in the ocean.
Oh, all right. Yeah, so you do like the beach. You like...
Yeah, ice cream. I like ice cream.
You can get ice cream anywhere, though, but
No, he means the Core Brothers.
Brothers.
Oh, the one on the boardwalk.
Cream. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I'm a simple person. I just like simple things.
Now, see, here's what I was getting at. Mike has told me explicit stories where you guys bring your own food.
Yes.
And basically, I keep calling it the Costanzo Caravan, because the way Mike describes it, it's like this epic journey.
It is.
Down to the shore where you guys are packing pots and pans and food, and things have to be prepared.
Tell him, Dad, how many trips up and down the steps?
Can you give us more of a vibe for this? What is it like?
Quite honestly, the trip down to the beach is horrible. I mean,
It is.
We're a caravan. We have to carry all these things and set them up. But, you know.
Oh, you mean the trip down to the actual beach every morning?
The trip down to the beach. The actual trip carrying all the things.
Oh, yeah.
The chairs and all that.
I know the people can't see, but, like, your facial expressions look like you were in pain.
Like, you were, like, just thinking about it caused you agony.
Well, this year, right, we have to look forward to setting up 3 tents.
Yeah.
Right? And, what, 16, 17 chairs?
Yeah.
We got to bring down coolers. We got to bring down toys for the kids.
Yeah.
Do you guys realize, though, that I don't think other people go to this extent, though?
No, we don't realize that at all.
Yeah, like, this is not normal beach-going behavior.
It's a three-family... No, it's a
four.
Three or four. Four-family vacation.
Yeah.
Four of us.
Yeah.
Four families.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Mike has told me, like, you guys prepare, like, chicken cutlets.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh,
Italiano sandwiches. Has that ever crossed your mind? Like, I don't think other families are doing what we do.
He's just nodding his head like, yeah, we know.
Well, it's tradition.
Yeah.
Tradition.
But how did you even, who thought, let me put it this way. Who thought it was a good idea to bring chicken cutlet sandwiches to the beach? Hold on.
Let me counter this. Are you going to turn down a chicken cutlet sandwich on the beach?
I guess I want him, but I would. I'd be very cautious as to who I'm accepting a random chicken cutlet sandwich.
We only give them out to ourselves, but you have chicken cutlets the night before, so you don't want the chicken cutlets to go to waste. So you stick it in a roll, you slap some ketchup and mayo on that bad boy, you wrap it up in some tin foil or saran wrap, you're good to go. You make 18 of those, and you're set.
I don't know where it came from, but it's always been that way. I mean, for as I can remember.
As long as you've been part of this family, right?
Yeah.
You've always done it.
Yeah.
Ah. All right. So, I don't know. It always strikes me as funny because I can't, like, you know, most people bring, like, beach balls or maybe beach toys or a football.
Rich, you got to come down this year. You come down.
Yeah. I want to see how this operates.
You come down. You'll enjoy it.
Yeah, I want to get my...
You should come down for a day and have a Super Sata sandwich on the beach, and you'll see.
Yeah.
You'll see. You'll know.
I want my sausage sandwich.
It's amazing. It's the salt in the air. It's just...
All mixes in.
Oh, it's perfect.
Right. And the tents, too, because...
And the tents, right.
The shade.
You'll always have shade.
That's great.
That's perfect for you.
Yeah.
I don't know how you go to the beach without a tent, Rich.
I don't go to the beach. That's my answer. That's usually my answer. But, you know, I don't know. If you guys set up 3 tents and... A little cookout area. I mean, sure, that sounds great.
I always feel bad for the people in back of us. Like, we know. We just there's just no way around it. Like, look, we got 3 of these things, so we're about to ruin your day. You can either move or deal with it. You know, yeah,
fair enough.
Well, I'm glad that you've got 4th of July coming up. I'm glad you got your annual summer vacation down the shore. You know, I always want to have you on just to check in on you, make sure you're doing good. I always want to get the garden update. I always want to get, you know, any other, always want to know any other things that are happening in the world of Frank Costanzo during the week of 4th of July. Because you're part of the podcast now.
You're now the
celebrity of the podcast.
I became famous after the first time.
Yes.
You've cemented yourself in crispy noodle history.
That's right. That and you know what else, too? The Philly dance.
Oh, my God.
That's on our YouTube page and our Facebook page. If you haven't seen that, that was the Eagles won.
Yeah.
That was, I got a lot of comments just like, who is this guy?
Yep.
Had to explain it. It's Mike's dad.
That one and the Christmas video we did a few years ago.
That's right.
Everybody went crazy over my dad's one line. We made like a whole like 3-4 minute video, and everyone's like, "Oh my god, there's Frank!"
Of course,
you know, I enjoy the podcast. I enjoy having dinner together, and it's a pleasure, honestly.
Oh,
nice. I got all sentimental.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
No, that's all right.
But you guys are great.
It's a good point. The podcast isn't just what we record; it's like a whole event.
It is.
You know, we have dinner before we set up. We have coffee. Yeah. It's like a whole big thing.
It's a fun night.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So, and I'm thankful to be a part of it.
Yep.
Aww.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy, I feel all warm and
this
fuzzy.
This is all too sappy. Yeah. Let's get on with the regular funny stuff.
Right. We got it. We got to
no
get.
No sausages.
Yeah, that's right. We got to get to sound clips, entertainment news, and, you know, people with samurai swords in Florida in the odd news. So, yeah,
of course.
We got that to look forward to. But for right now, Frank Costanzo, thank you for coming on the podcast and let us know how you're doing.
Thank you for having me. Have a good night, guys.
There you go. The legend himself, Frank Costanzo, right there. Oh, man. Always good to talk with your dad.
Yeah, he's a blast.
No sausages. No sausages. No. No sausages. Sausages!
There you go. And the legend has departed. We do have our next segment to get to. And it is the part of the show where Mike lets you know what's coming up in terms of movies, TV, and video games. Folks, it's time for Mike's This Week in Entertainment. Here we go.
Sausages!
Oh, yeah. There you go. We got the sausages loaded up finally. It always throws me off when we have like an extra guest because I got to move everything over one on my board.
Right. I know. It throws everything out of whack.
Yes, but it's fine. It was all worth it for your dad to get on the podcast.
Yeah. But you know what else was thrown out of whack was the Marvel Cinematic Universe after Infinity War. But hopefully this new movie coming to theaters this week will realign things. Ant-Man and the Wasp premieres this weekend. This sequel marks the first Marvel movie to release after Avengers Infinity War and should hopefully bring a lighter tone to contrast the darkness of Infinity War. So far, it's got generally favorable reviews on Rotten Tomatoes. It's got an 84%, which is good for a 6.8 out of 10 average from about 90 reviewers. You know, it looks like a pretty standard Ant-Man summer comedy action film. Perfect popcorn munching, soda swilling, action, laugh your ass off type movie. So go check out Ant-Man and the Wasp opening this weekend. In television, we have something a little bit different. Sharp Objects is a new drama miniseries by the Emmy and Golden Globe award-winning director Jean-Marc Vallée, and that's premiering Sunday, July 8th on HBO. The series follows the story of a crime reporter played by Amy Adams who returns to her small Missouri hometown to cover the story of the murder of a young girl. Now, the person who's directing this got huge critical acclaim for his work on, I believe it was Big Little Lies, an HBO miniseries that won tons of awards last year. This series is also based on a book that I think was by the same writer who did Gone Girl. So a lot of big name talent behind this one, including Amy Adams as the lead actress. So definitely this is one to keep on your radar. That's Sharp Objects premiering July 8th. On HBO. And finally, in video games, a new month equals new free games for PlayStation Plus and Xbox Live Gold subscribers. PlayStation 4 gamers get Heavy Rain Remastered.
Ooh!
Yeah, I know. This is one of our favorites. It's the game that really put Quantic Dream on the map. It started the newer trend of narrative-driven, choice-based gameplay, and it dubbed that concept of playable movies. You know, it's not as polished as Detroit Become Human, but it is definitely a hallmark video game that everybody has to experience, I think. Actually, it's been a really big push for Quantic Dream recently. They had Beyond Two Souls as a free game, then they had the release of Detroit Become Human, and now Heavy Rain is a free game.
Yes.
So for the past couple of months, PlayStation gamers could, you know, have grabbed the entire Quantic Dream PlayStation series.
Yes, and Heavy Rain is definitely the most... I haven't played Detroit right. Become Human yet.
That one will jump to the top of your list after you play it.
But Heavy Rain is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
I was blown away by that one.
The noir style of the whole thing and the weighty decisions where characters could die and stay dead. I mean, the murder mystery aspect. It was a really, really phenomenal game at the time, and I still think it holds up well even today.
Yes. So we both highly recommend, if you haven't played it, go to your PlayStation Store account and make sure you download it.
Yes, absolutely. And that wraps it up for this week in entertainment.
All right, there you go. Mike's This Week in Entertainment for the week. Now we got a quick news story here to hit on. It's an interesting rumor going around from Google. Of course, Google's trying to get into everything that it can possibly get its hands on.
Of course.
First, Frank Costanzo's garden. Now,
now coming up next could be video game, the video game enterprise.
Yeah, it's not as big an industry as my dad's garden.
Yes.
But it's still a very big entertainment industry, billions of dollars a year. And, of course, Google wants a piece of that pie. Google has long been rumored to be trying to break into games, but rumors have really been picking up recently, so far in 2018. So much so that there's a couple of articles devoted to the subject detailing what the rumors surrounding this latest initiative are. First up, everybody seems to agree that whatever Google will do will take on some form of three-pronged approach where they have a streaming platform, some sort of hardware that either allows you to stream games or possibly download games, and then finally they want to bring developers in-house. They don't want to go to third parties. They want to have their own core group of developers, sort of like Sony has their first-party studios. So if those rumors are true, Google is looking to make this a real thing. And this is really just Google's latest foray into this. Google's been toying with the idea for a while. They tried to buy Twitch in 2014. Niantic was formerly a Google sort of developer or spinoff team. Once they broke away from Google, they created Pokemon Go. And Google has been known to hire lots of developers, game developers in the past, for projects that didn't materialize, but they have been looking to acquire that sort of talent. What really sparked these new rumors is the fact that Google had a big showing at the Game Developers Conference where they talked to different gaming companies and pitched them on various ideas they had for streaming services. So that sort of generated the latest buzz. But the main takeaway, though, is that a lot of developers were a little skeptical of it. You know, Google starts and stops projects. You know, in the past, other tech companies have tried to break into the game world and not succeed, like Amazon and Apple. And the fact that gaming history is filled with lots of consoles that have, you know, failed to generate a lot of hype. So I guess everybody's sort of wondering, what makes Google different? What could Google do that could let them succeed where other companies have failed? What would you think about a Google gaming solution, either hardware or a streaming service? Like, what does this look like, and would this be something that you'd be interested in?
Yeah, it's really going to come down to, can they either offer a unique take on video game systems, or can they streamline the process? They would have to do something to not revolutionize how video games are sold, but there'd have to be some sort of angle to it.
Yeah,
you know, because right now PlayStation and Microsoft, that if you want serious gaming, you go that route.
Right.
If you're looking for more casual gaming, you go Nintendo. I mean,
for gaming on the go, you go, you know, phones.
Yeah, right now all the corners seem to be pretty well entrenched. So it's going to be really tough for Google to try and to take a hammer to it and chisel out their own little piece of it.
There's one niche that has really, I don't want to say struggled because it hasn't really been a focus, but really hasn't garnered a lot of attention yet. And that is the concept of streaming games. You know, that PlayStation has tried it with PlayStation Now. Xbox has a feature where you can download games every month and play them, but that's not streaming. I'm not really aware of. I know, I think it was On Live or something. It was a little tiny, like a couple inch box that you could stream games on, but no company's ever cracked that mystery.
So yeah, you're
being
saying
able to stream games, because the thing with the streaming of games is that you wouldn't need powerful hardware.
Right. You're saying that all the game data, the installation files are in like a cloud somewhere.
Right. It's streamed to your computer like a Netflix or a YouTube.
Right.
And YouTube is actually a great example of what people think Google could do with this. The fact that they have experience with streaming lots of high bandwidth content with YouTube, the fact they have data centers all over the world, and the fact they have one other trick up their sleeves that no other company has, and that's Google Fiber. So everybody is concerned about streaming and, you know, bandwidth and connectivity, but they've brought Google Fiber into a couple of select cities, and people are, the rumor mill is really spinning. They're going, what if they really expand Google Fiber and say,
they would really need to start making progress on Google Fiber, and I don't know.
They need to become a full-blown ISP.
I don't think it's going to happen. I mean,
do you think it's a capital problem, or do you think it's just like a regulatory hurdle type thing?
I think it's both.
Yeah.
First off, the cost of a major expansion for Google Fiber would be absolutely crazy. But also, the current climate right now is not good. You have the FCC apparently just letting Comcast do whatever it wants to do.
Yeah.
Here we are. We're a Philadelphia podcast. Comcast pretty much owns Philadelphia. There is no way they're going to let Google Fiber in.
They're changing the name of Philadelphia to Comcast Adelphia.
Right. They're not going to let Google Fiber within 50 miles of
the city.
I don't
know. The way the FCC is working, shouldn't they want to promote competition? isn't that the classic phrase, Rich?
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, there's also the time honored tradition of my friend's over at Comcast. I'm gonna look out for him.
They gave me this envelope and it's filled with money.
Right.
I like money.
Yes.
Ergo, Comcast.
Comcast
shall continue to own your lives.
That's
Philadelphia.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Call it Comcash.
Comcash.
Nice.
Why
hasn't nobody thought of this?
I'm sure it's a thing. It can't
not
be a thing.
I don't know. I've never seen that. Comcash.
We're going to make it a thing. Hashtag Comcash.
Yeah. But seriously, that's my point. Google Fiber isn't going to come within 50 miles of Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Google Fiber does well, in Kansas and Oklahoma.
We're lucky we even have Verizon. Just to give you the illusion of choice.
Right.
In Philadelphia.
I mean, Comcast headquarters is in Philly. Comcast owns the
Comcast
Northeast.
Has a big frickin' skyscraper.
Yeah.
They are not going to let...
They own the Northeast. Verizon is just like a gimmick. They allow it to happen.
Right.
You know?
So I highly... to go back to the main topic here.
Yeah.
If the subject or if the basis of these rumors... Is Google Fiber trying to take off? I highly doubt it.
It's not the whole basis, but it is what people are pointing to as being a possible solution. Because realistically, that's the reason why streaming games hasn't taken hold. Is because people can't stream them. They're just too big of a data packet to squeeze through the little tubes to your house.
A
series of tubes. My series of tubes can't handle this. Like I've tried, you
a
know,
series of tubes.
I tried to sign up for the PlayStation Now, 7-day free trial. PlayStation Now is where you can stream PlayStation 3 games and PlayStation 4 games, and it does an internet check, and it's like your internet can't handle it because these are massive things. You know, this is like, even bigger than HD and 4K video. This is tons and tons of gigabytes of data every second.
For those that don't, I just realized some people might not get the reference. This is the series of tubes bit.
And again, the internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes.
There you go. Senator Ted Stevens trying to describe what the internet
is.
It's
a series of tubes.
It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes.
I mean, he's kind of right, but also
just really
not
wrong.
Yeah.
There are times in life you can be right, but also just really, really wrong.
Yeah, that's one of them.
Yes. Thank you. Rest in peace, Ted Stevens.
Is he dead?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a shame.
Out of all things, he died in an airplane crash. No joke. Hmm. I remember reading that news
headline.
I mean,
it does happen, airplane crashes.
Right. But Ted Stevens, he was worried about the internet, and the airplanes got him.
It's because the airplane didn't have enough tubes.
Over the internet, and again, the internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes.
I just love that clip.
But
it's a series of tubes.
It's a series of tubes that people have not quite figured out how to solve the problem of.
Yeah.
Because I don't see Google coming out with like a PlayStation 4 type box where you buy games on a disc. That's not Google's MO. Google doesn't want hardware.
They can't come out into the serious gaming platform. There's no way they're going to be able to crack PlayStation, Microsoft.
Here's a prime example. Look at all of Google's hardware. Their Chromebooks, It's just
minimalistic.
It's just a metal casing that connects to the internet.
Right.
Like, there's nothing in there. You know? Their phones, same thing. The phones are primarily all Google services in a little tiny handheld device. It's all focused on that's their business is the internet. It's search. It's video. It's file storage. So I don't see them getting into the hardware space, competing, you know, in big box retailers against Microsoft and Sony, these established franchises. That's not to say it's impossible, right? Sony was an upstart. Microsoft was an upstart in the gaming industry, at least.
Right.
You know, and they carved out their areas. But I don't want to seem so pessimistic. I just don't see Google being able to take on the big three in a traditional sense.
Yeah.
So that means they have to do it non-traditionally, which means streaming. Is that, I mean, that logic sounds right to me.
I think so. The only other thing that I would see is maybe they go after the casual market. You know, I mean, Nintendo Switch is doing pretty good right now, but maybe they find a way to make things
even more casual, like free to play.
Maybe something like that, or maybe they come out with, here's the thing that I keep thinking about is Nintendo Switch right now has this thing with, cardboard.
Oh, the Labo.
Labo, yes.
Where you like make a cardboard. I don't
things.
Even know.
You just make cardboard things.
Yeah, they sell sheets of cardboard that you punch out and you build models with them. And then you put the controllers in it and it like does.
It works. Yeah. I got my hand on it actually
try
it out.
And how was it?
It's cool because what it does is there's actually reflective tape on certain elements of the cardboard.
Oh, okay. Is there like a camera that detects it then?
Yeah, the actual controllers, when you place the controllers in a certain way, it reads the light sensors. And that's how it sends the commands to the game and how everything works in real time.
So it's sort of like a tactile VR type thing.
Right.
That's
so
cool.
There's like a thing for like a fishing rod. There's a thing for a house. There's one for a piano, which is weird. I don't know. I'm like, wow, you're going way too far for cardboard piano.
That's a lot of cardboard.
Yeah. Cardboard industry going up. Yeah. Buy.
That's what happened. Nintendo bought like some stock in a cardboard company.
Yeah.
So you see but Google going like super non-traditional.
Maybe
then.
They could do something where, I mean, the success of that product could spur Google to look into something like that, I think.
Perhaps.
Because it's to me, they can't. I think that the option.
They're not going to go toe to toe.
Right. The option that's off the table is a serious console. They
traditional hardware. Yeah.
Right. I think that's off the table. They're not going to try and fight Sony and Microsoft.
No.
But maybe Nintendo doesn't really have a casual competitor. Maybe they go after that route.
Nintendo's, I mean, that's a pretty big person to tackle their Nintendo.
Well, but there's only. In terms of
there's
casual,
more market share there than
right. In terms of casual games, it's really only Nintendo.
Right. You're not going to put out a rival Call of Duty.
Yeah.
On a Google box.
Correct.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm thinking. Is they're probably going to lean towards that, right?
Like the kid market.
Right. Correct.
Okay. Gotcha.
So that would be my guess. But who knows?
Yeah. For me, I'm still holding out hope that they eventually crack this nut of game streaming. Could you imagine a Netflix type service for games? Like, that is the gamer's holy grail. The problem with it is that it is the holy grail, and it probably doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Right?
You're going to have to get some really big tubes in order for it to come to fruition.
And again, the internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. We need our tubes to get bigger here in America.
Right. But there you go. That will wrap up. The entertainment entree. What a jam-packed segment. Your dad and then talking about Google and the internet.
And tubes.
Yes.
That was the thing that we talked the most about.
Of course. Because it's so momentous in our history of the internet. But we need to take a break. But don't go anywhere because coming up next, something else that is very momentous is the non-fortune cookie odd news. I've got a couple of stories that you need to hear, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Hey, what do you hear? What do you say? My Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Google Plus, your sister's ass, the punish, but very pissed off things here. You know what ticks me off? Everybody's got a podcast.
Everybody's got a podcast. But no podcast ever has been beyond but the Crispy Noodle podcast. That's what podcast that don't have things to be on.
I'm Nikolai Volkov. I want you to keep listening to Crispy Noodle. Hey, that is order.
Hey, this is Tony Gaga. You got a podcast? You got to go to the podcast I go to. I'll get you this podcast for $2. That's the Crispy Noodle Podcast for $2.
Oh, yeah, we are back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We are done the sports sampler and the entertainment entree. And, yeah, good to hear from your dad. It's as is tradition on 4th of July, the 4th of July podcast.
Yep.
Know, it's always good to check in on him and hear what's good with his garden.
He loves talking about his garden.
Yeah, he does. Like, a bright smile comes on his face.
Yeah.
And then we talked about setting up stuff on the beach, and he just turned his smile turned upside down.
Yeah.
But before we get to the odd news, I hear that there's something that you want to talk about and you want to sandwich in right now, because it is pretty odd, so it does fit with the odd news coming up.
It is odd, and it is also slightly spoilery for Marvel Avengers Infinity War. So if you haven't seen that movie, you might want to just skip ahead, like, a couple of minutes.
Ooh, it's a spoiler! Ooh, it's a spoiler! Don't listen! Go away!
Okay. All right, there you
go. So I won't take too long, just a few minutes, but I just want to talk about real quick something, a trend that I've been following on Reddit the past few days. There is a subreddit on Reddit devoted to Thanos from in Avengers Infinity War. The subreddit is called Thanos Did Nothing Wrong. And
okay.
And Rich knows that this has become one of my favorite sayings to just throw out there. Yes. Thanos did nothing wrong. He, you know, everything.
Just randomly.
Yeah, everything should be balanced as it should be. And this subreddit is devoted to that concept of keeping things in balance, you know, as everything should be. But they're taking it very, very far, to the point where recently this week, they've been talking about banning half the subreddit in order to sort of memorialize what Thanos did when he got the gauntlet by wiping out half of everyone. They want to do the same thing with their subreddit. They want to take this community of 160,000 subscribers and ban half of them in order to maintain balance.
Because he gets rid of half of the population of the universe.
Right. So they're talking about ways to do this. I've never seen a community so excited about half of their members being banned as I have this community this week. It is just the bizarrest and most enthralling thing. I like keep going back and checking, like, did they do it? Did they do it? Did they ban everyone? I'm waiting for that digital finger snap where the subreddit just gets cut in half. But they're taking it real far. They're contacting Reddit site administrators, trying to find out how they can ban half their subreddit. And the Redditors are excited. They're pushing for this. They're like, if they don't do this, I'm going to unsubscribe myself. They really want this ban to happen. It is so truly bizarre, but it is so funny. And I love following it. It's like a little drama occurring on the subreddit.
So how are you going to know if it actually does happen, though?
I guess there's going to be a mod post where they're going to say we banned half the sub, and I guess the sub number will be cut in half. But in the meantime, they're setting up an alternate sub called Souls World, where the band can subscribe to.
That's right. You get lost in soul, yeah, in the soul plane.
Yeah. But this whole thing is just cracking me up. I love following it because they are so serious about it. And I have subbed to the subreddit. I can't wait to see if I get swept up in the salvation because Thanos did nothing wrong.
So, wait. What was this subreddit before this whole thing happened then?
It was just a subreddit talking about how Thanos did nothing wrong. These are supporters of Thanos that say, you know what?
Pro-population control.
Right, what he did made sense. what he did was the only rational outcome. They feel like he was in the right doing what he had to do in order to fix the problems of the universe.
Okay.
And so they're excited about being called.
So if you get banished from this subreddit, are you going to be upset?
No, I'll go to Souls World.
Oh, you go to, that's right. You go to, so.
And then I can see what everybody in Souls World says about what Thanos did. Like I said, it's really bizarre.
Yeah.
But I'm like completely engrossed in it. I'm checking back like every couple of hours. Like, did they ban people? Did they ban people? I mean, this is a subreddit that is knowingly and willingly deciding to ban half its population. And the population's okay with it. They're pushing them to do it. It's just you got to check it out, Rich. It is so like out there. It is so bizarre. I've never seen this sort of thing, but the love for Marvel Avengers Infinity War is strong. People really love that universe, and this is just another example of it.
All right. So, well, I'm sure
everybody go check that out.
I'm sure Mike will give us an update if he does get banished from. Yeah, Thanos did nothing wrong.
Wait to get banished, Rich.
This doesn't sound weird. Doesn't sound weird at all.
It doesn't sound weird to me because Thanos did nothing wrong. What don't you understand about this?
Okay. on that note, let's get into stuff that's even more weirder than that. It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool, uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great.
Mandada bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I've seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Past this part. Never play this again.
Okay. what does that mean?
And now it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders. Go to the bathroom because you're in for hell of a ride.
Woo! Odd news.
That's right, everybody. Here in this segment, research. Wow. Oh my God.
Thanos is getting to you.
Thanos is getting to me. In this segment, Rich researches the news. He reads the news, and I react to the news. He finds all these weird and wacky odd news stories and keeps them hidden from me, so that all my reactions are my genuine gut reactions to hearing these stories for the very first time. I don't know what's about to happen. You guys don't know what's about to happen, and even Rich doesn't know what's about to happen because these stories always take us down fantastically odd and insane paths. And I'm ready to get started, Rich. What do you got for us in the non-fortune cookie odd news?
Okay. Well, this would be interesting if you're Thanos, because I've got six stories and three of them are Florida-based and three are non-Florida-based. Which three would you eliminate?
Ooh, that's a tough one. Well, no, it has to be random, Rich.
Oh, it's ready? Random. Oh, okay. There you go.
Come through very good. I can't snap. There you go.
That's as best as we can do. Well, don't worry, folks. I'm going to still read all six. But let's start off with the Florida ones first.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Here's a quick one here. This is just a quick bulletin, but it still gets the point home here. Authorities say that a Florida man had to be returned to jail shortly after his release because he couldn't pay the taxi driver that took him home from jail.
Wrong. You're wrong.
Yes.
God, that sucks.
He gets out of jail, calls for a taxi, gets him home, but then realizes he can't pay, and the taxi driver has to bring him back.
So, I mean, he couldn't work out a deal with the taxi driver? He's like, no, get back in. I'm taking you straight back.
40-year-old Charles Folk was arrested Thursday morning and charged with petty theft. Melbourne police say that Folk held a taxi outside of the Brevard County Jail Complex shortly after midnight. After he traveled 30 miles to his home, Folk told the driver that neither Wow. Neither his sister or his roommate would help him pay for his $70 fare.
Oh, come on.
Wow. Everybody let him down. Jeez.
So
the man just got out of jail.
I know. He doesn't have anything to his name right now. So wait, is that really a jailable offense?
Yeah, if you don't if you don't pay your taxi driver, yeah, that's theft.
Yeah. God, that sucks.
This cannot be made good. It's shameful. It's a shameful, shameful day.
I actually feel kind of bad for the guy though.
As a result, the driver called the police. Yeah, that's
why didn't you just drive him back? Why do you even stop at his house? Just turn back around and
lock the door.
Yeah, lock the door, turn around.
Folk had previously been in jail for criminal mischief. He's now being held on a $2,000 bail.
Well, if he didn't have 70, he's not going to have 2,000.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, I think he's stuck in jail now.
He's got to find another way home next time.
Got to find some better friends.
Yeah, really. They couldn't find $70 between the three of them?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he doesn't have any money on him. He just got out of jail.
But he didn't have anything in his account either? Like, he couldn't be like, drive me to an ATM or...
Well, if you're, I don't know
what the circumstances are. I just feel like
he was only in jail for criminal mischief, so I don't think it could have been that long. But if you go to jail long enough, the government seizes your assets.
Do they?
Yeah.
I don't know anything about being in jail. I've never been. Is it fun?
No, it's not fun.
Do you know?
Yes.
Yes.
No,
I know it's not fun.
Let's move on to some other Florida stories here.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Let's do these stories. I know you love ridiculous excuses, right?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, we got a couple of good ones here. A Florida man that was arrested for drunk driving actually told police that it was his dog that was at the wheel.
Wrong, 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 wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. You're wrong.
Yeah.
We've had this exact same story before, though.
Yep.
Don't you remember?
Oh, yeah.
I think this was a... Why do people think that an animal at the wheel is better than a drunk person at the wheel?
Yeah, either way, shows a complete lack of judgment.
Right, exactly. If I were the cop, I'd be like, sir, I think that's actually worse. Dogs can't drive.
No, officer, I was trying to be responsible. The dog was sober.
Yeah, of course. But he's also driving without a license. The dog doesn't have a license, Rich.
How do you know that?
Or is this a really talented service dog?
Right. It might be
like
one of
those. Like, this service dog can drive.
Yeah, it's ones that's been in the dog shows. That's his talent.
He spins on the steering wheel. That's how he turns the car.
Yeah.
Dogs are colorblind, though. They can't see red. So stoplights and stop signs are very dangerous.
You just got to remember the placement on the...
It's a dog. It doesn't know anything, though.
Yeah, it knows its name.
It knows its name. That's the only thing it knows. It's driving. Why? I mean, he's drunk, so I understand why he said it. But also, why did you say that the dog was driving? Come on.
State troopers pulled over the 2005 Nissan after spotting the car being driven erratically.
Oh, I had a 2005 Nissan.
Oh, there you go. Might be your car.
I highly doubt it.
You never
what
know.
What was it? Was it a Maxima?
I had a
2005 Nissan Maxima. That was a good car. It was falling apart, but it was a good car.
Glad
the engine and the motor mounts were going.
I'm glad you have fond memories of your car.
I do.
When cops contacted the driver, they detected that there was an obvious and distinct odor of alcohol coming from inside the vehicle. The motorist, 56-year-old Scott Garrett, was lethargic, slurring his words, and had red and very bloodshot eyes. There was also an open container of Sailor Jerry spiced rum.
Yep.
That'll be that boy, man. That's...
That'll do it. That's the giveaway.
Yeah, that's it, Lou. Before performing a series of field sobriety tests, Garrett asked troopers to give him a ride to his home. Garrett then pinned the dangerous driving on another party. He said that, quote, I wasn't driving the vehicle, but it was actually my dog.
That doesn't sound better, though.
Wrong, 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 wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. You're wrong.
Yes.
I thought it'd be fun to let him take the wheel for a little bit.
Right.
No, that's not the way this works.
He gets so cooped up in the house. I wanted him to have some fun.
Yeah, he's got to stretch his legs by driving. I don't know. This is so dumb.
Who's a good driver? Who's a good little driver? Get in, boy. Get in, boy. Turn that wheel. Turn that wheel. Go, good boy.
Oh, my God.
Despite his alibi, he was arrested for drunk driving. A breath test showed that his blood alcohol content was more than 3 times the legal limit.
Yep.
He also has previous convictions for DUI, so
that's a shocker.
Yeah, that's a shocker, yeah. He's got...
He's trying to convince the cops the dog was driving, so...
Yep. Troopers also reported that Garrett was the only occupant of the Nissan besides the dog. Garrett, though, has actually pleaded not guilty to the count.
Wrong, 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 wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. You're wrong.
Yeah.
He already said the dog was driving. I don't understand what people don't understand about this.
Yeah, come
on. It's a rock solid alibi right there. See, if I were the cop, I'd be like, show me. show me how the dog drives.
Yes. I want to give him a driving test right now.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be a big test. I just want him to just pull away from the curb. If the dog can pull away from the curb without crashing the car, I'll let you go free.
He's due in court at the end of the month, so he's actually going to fight this. Good luck.
Are they going to call the dog as a witness?
Yeah, right? You have to bring the dog in.
Who was operating the motor vehicle at the time? There it is, folks. I don't know.
Who's a good little witness?
They have to have, like, dog treats for him at the stand. Yeah. What does a dog swear on? Like, people swear on Bibles and stuff. What does a dog swear on? Like a bone?
Yes.
They hold up
his
a bone.
Most precious bone.
Yeah.
A big one.
Yes.
Gold-plated.
A gold-plated? Jesus, the dog has better treatment than people. That's true, though. Have you ever seen people, like, they really go all out for their dogs?
Yeah.
And it's like, all right, I get it. Like, a dog, it's cool, it's cute, it's fun. But, like, people are humans.
Yeah.
We should respect humans more than animals, right? No? Maybe?
Maybe, but at the same time, though, dogs and cats and pets are just so cute.
They are. They are.
You know? And they're so, like, just, like... That, like, naive cute, you know?
Right. Like, oh, you're a stupid little animal. Yeah. Oh, aren't you adorable?
So it's like they should get preferential treatment over some humans.
Wow. Jeez.
I'm just saying.
Rich values animal lives more than human lives. If you had a choice between saving a human being and an animal, which would you save?
Do I know the human being?
Wow. let's assume you don't know either of them.
Oh. Yeah, then I guess probably that you have to choose the human, but I'd be sad.
You seem torn over it.
I know.
I feel like if you're in that situation, like two things are falling off a cliff. You romp, you're like, and you have to pause and you think about, do I save like the actual human being or the animal? You're like, you're thinking about it. I can see you there on the cliff. You're like torn. You're going, oh, this way, that way, this way, that way.
Yeah.
And then they both fall, Rich.
Oh, darn it.
And
I lost both of them.
And they're both dead.
Damn it.
Why did you do that?
Darn it. I was trying to be a hero.
But you killed them! This got wildly out of control. So anyway, the point is...
Yes.
I don't know what the point is.
Now,
yes,
the point
is yes.
The point is, though, if I knew one of the guys was this Florida man, Yeah,
You'd let him fall.
I'm saving the dog.
Yeah. Well, the dog can drive and he can't.
Oh, that's a good point.
The dog can
take care of himself.
In this case, the dog is actually more used to society.
Yes.
Than the person who
says,
no, the dog was driving.
Save the dog.
Save the dog.
He can drive.
Dog gets a job as a taxi driver, calls in people who can't pay their fares.
He's the newest driver on Uber.
Yeah.
All right. I got another Florida story here for you.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Here's another blame game story here. A Key Largo woman being booked into jail on a driving with a suspended license charge said that deputies found cocaine in her purse. But she claims that, quote, it must have been in the bag when she bought it from the Salvation Army.
Wrong, 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 wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. You're wrong.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, boy. The Salvation That's Army, right. man. They're up to some wacky stuff.
Yeah. It was like a bonus. You know,
thank
like,
you for shopping with us.
Here's a free. Yeah.
We value our customers. Here's some free cocaine.
Boy, what a promotion.
50-year-old Magdalena Saluto Rodriguez.
What was that? Magdalena Slut?
Magdalena Saluto Rodriguez was arrested on cocaine possession, smuggling contraband in the jail, and driving with a suspended license.
Wow. Racking them up.
Deputy Campbell pulled Rodriguez in Key Largo because a check of her tag showed that the owner of the car she was driving had a suspended license. Rodriguez told Campbell she did not have a license and was on her way to Miami to pay a traffic ticket. Campbell checked the status of her license and found out that it was suspended for failing to appear at a county court for a traffic summons. So, she's already not on good terms with the law, apparently.
No.
Campbell then arrested Rodriguez and took her to a local jail. A deputy there found a small bag of cocaine in her purse. Rodriguez, according to the report, said that, quote, "It's not mine. I bought this purse at the Salvation Army and must have been theirs."
Wrong, 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 wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. You're wrong.
And she just never noticed it.
Yes.
Up until this very moment.
Oh, my gosh.
She's had this bag. She's been putting stuff in and taking stuff out. I assume it was empty except for the bag of cocaine when she bought it. So I don't know how you miss something like that.
Boy, man, those women's bags, man, they're just bottomless holes. You just never know what you're going to find in them.
Like cocaine.
Yes.
An essential for every woman's purse.
In Florida.
Yes.
That's why
you really can't get through a day in Florida without cocaine.
That's why it's included in every purse from the Salvation Army.
Buy a purse, get a free bag of cocaine.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd be doing crazy sales.
She's awaiting charges of drug possession in addition to her charge of driving with a suspended license. So
yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I think she's going to have some serious jail time coming up.
Yeah.
All right. We're now leaving Florida. Let's leave Florida. We need to explore and expand our horizons here.
Okay, we're heading on a road trip. Where are we going first?
We're going to do San Diego first. Going to San Diego in this story.
All the way across the country.
Yep. A man who allegedly broke into the gift shop at the San Diego Zoo said that the reason he did it was to steal T-shirts he was browsing through from the tourist destination souvenir clothing line.
Discovered by the Germans in 1904, they named it San Diego, which of course in German means a whale's vagina.
Yes, of course, everyone knows that.
Of course.
So a security guard that was patrolling the grounds of the zoo around 1:30 in the morning spotted the intruder in the store. He was simply trying on hats, a sweatshirt, a T-shirt, and sweaters, looking at them in the mirror to see how they suited him, according to police. So he just hung out there.
That is so bizarre.
Yes.
He's like, I want to buy the stuff, but I'm not going to come back during business hours because why? Like, he's doesn't want people to see him trying on clothes. So he comes back in the middle of the night and breaks in to try stuff on.
Yes. But he also wanted to steal some.
Oh, he wanted to steal it too.
Right. So before he's going to steal it, I need to make sure they look good on me first.
Well, I mean, of course. Of course.
I'm not going to steal things that don't fit me, Mike.
Right. Because then you got to go and you got to return, you gotta unsteal it, you know?
Gotta return it.
Yeah. What's the return policy on stolen goods? You have to unsteal it.
I need to speak with the manager. I stole these items yesterday. I need to return them.
Yeah, they're not satisfactory. I need to return them for store credit, please. And they're like, what? It's not how it works.
They also have camera footage that shows the suspect, who was identified as 29-year-old Taylor Elliott Maddox, trying on a black panda design hoodie when officers burst through the gift shop and confronted him. So, yeah, he was trying on everything. Hats, sweatshirts, T-shirts.
He was buying
panda design hoodies.
He was buying a full wardrobe.
Yeah. He was,
like he was buying just
out
everything.
Out of just the San Diego Zoo logos.
Why does Bob, all his clothes have San Diego Zoo written on them?
He must be an animal lover.
Yeah.
Discovered by the Germans in 1904, they named it San Diego, which of course in German means a whale's vagina.
Yes.
Such a good scene.
They then handcuffed him and walked him to a waiting patrol car. Maddox was booked into the San Diego jail on suspicion of burglary and possession of illegal drug paraphernalia.
Ah, there it is.
It still remains unclear how the suspect managed to get onto the grounds of the zoo after hours in the first place. So, but yeah, he decided that he was going to try on everything.
Yeah. It makes sense, though. I mean, wouldn't you feel like really ticked off if you broke into a place, you stole some stuff, and you can't even wear it?
Yeah, but
that defeats the whole purpose.
Yeah, but you need to have that like ticking clock in your head. Like, you need to move. You need to get out of there. Like,
that's true.
You are on illegal grounds right now.
You have to restrict the number of items you try on.
Yes. You don't have all day.
Like, don't do the full wardrobe. Come back another time and get like the hat or the shoes or whatever you're missing. You know, just keep it like a few items.
Yeah, don't spend all night there.
This dude was like filling up an entire like couple of bags of goods. You know,
he was having his own like fashion show at 1:30 in the morning.
Exactly.
I don't think this hat matches my pants that I have on. How does this look?
Yeah,
this T-shirt does look too baggy on me. I don't know. And by the way, yeah, that would be really creepy. All of his items say San Diego Zoo on
it. Yeah, could you imagine that? It's like, wow, you really have a lot of shirts from the San Diego Zoo. Just really love those animals, man.
Yeah, big fan. I'm a huge fan.
Just head to toe, walking billboard style. The zoo is a fun place, but also kind of a depressing place.
Yeah, a little bit.
Like, I like seeing the animals, but at the same time, I'm like, oh, you can't possibly be happy in that pen.
As happy, yeah.
Yeah. Although, did I ever tell you about the time that I saw a giraffe drinking another giraffe's pee?
No.
I went to the
Please,
zoo.
Please, do go on.
I went to the zoo with my brother and our cousin, who I guess was, what, 19?
Oh.
Yeah. So it was me, JB, and our cousin. I guess she was 19 at the time. And I think this was like, we were taking her out because it was like right before she went away to college for, I guess it was her sophomore year or whatever. So we're like, all right, let's do one last fun thing for the summer. Let's go. She wanted to go to the zoo like in August, which is the hottest, whatever.
Yeah, why would you do that?
Oh my God, it was miserable. But I had a lot of fun. We did the hot air balloon. That was fun. But the highlight of the trip was the giraffe exhibit. So we're walking by and there's these, you know, majestic giraffes. And there's a lot of people standing around watching them because, you know, they're really cool and everything. And the one giraffe gets like this little spread eagle stance, like sticks its legs out and it's like squatting down kind of and starts urinating. Right.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, ew, that's gross. But then the other giraffe comes up behind him. It's like, what's going on here? Sticks its head underneath. They have really long tongues. Sticks its really long tongue out and starts drinking like it's like a water fountain, like a drinking fountain.
No!
People started screaming. People started laughing. Kids started crying. It was like a scene out of a movie. We're sitting there like, oh my God, what are you doing, giraffe? Like a water fountain, Rich.
Yeah. Hey, man, they're animals.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
I don't think that's better.
I still don't think that's a good excuse.
So you're officially saying giraffes are dumb?
It was drinking another giraffe's urine. Again, like a water fountain. Okay? It's like, what's this? And just starts lapping it up.
That's actually what happened to the Toys R Us giraffe.
Yeah, man,
he's now drinking urine.
Fell on some hard times.
Yeah, I mean, Toys R Us closed down. There
exactly.
You go. He's now resorted to drinking urine.
Drinking urine. Yep. That's messed up.
Yep, sad story.
I just made this odd news really weird.
Let's make it even more weirder.
Okay.
Let's go to England in our next story here.
Sure, let's do that.
An English man who was thought to have taken an illegal drug somehow climbed up and became stuck on top of a lamppost and had to be rescued by firefighters.
Hello!
Yes.
This dude is clearly not from Philadelphia, because if that happened here, we'd know how to get down.
Yes, right? Yeah, don't get stuck up
there. We're very experienced with climbing up lampposts.
Well, here's the thing, though. This wasn't just a regular lamppost. This was a 32-foot-tall lamppost.
Hello!
That's a very tall lamppost.
Yes.
Why would it be that tall? What is it lighting up? The like, what?
Highways are pretty tall. If you ever drive on a highway, the ones on those are pretty high.
Is that what he was climbing?
It's 32 feet high. This is not a neighborhood lamppost.
So he walked out onto the highway and like, I'm going to climb this giant three-story lamppost?
Well, this guy is on illegal drugs right now.
That is really tall, though.
Yes, it is. He got up there. See, Mike, here's the thing you're missing.
Anything is possible through drugs.
Yes. Ta-da.
The more you know.
Right. Let's go drugs.
Wow.
That was a bit of a nastiness last night, yes? Some very extreme nastiness, yes? Yes.
What a PSA. Hey, kids, do you want to achieve your greatest dreams and hopes? Take some drugs.
Yeah. You can climb anything.
You can climb anything. Do you want to climb stuff, kids? Here, snort this.
So, the man somehow scaled this 32-foot lamppost in Handsworth, Birmingham.
That's impressive.
But when he got up to the top, he then became stranded.
Right.
Crews had to use a special ladder with a hydraulic platform to get him down. The firefighters still report that they have no idea how he got there in the first place.
Again, drugs.
Yes, the answer is drugs. Thank you very much.
Oh.
West Midlands Ambulance Service said it was called to a report of a man in a precarious position at the top of the lamppost at 10 p.m. on Saturday night. Luckily, firefighters got him down, but he did suffer a hand injury, so he's taken to the local hospital. But,
jeez.
Yeah, just, I would love to be the firefighter crew on that one. Just like, what the hell? How did he get up there?
They're like, how? What? Why?
This is three stories tall. How did he get up
that's
there?
That's a lot of climbing.
Yeah.
I feel like now I don't have any experience taking drugs.
That's good.
But.
Good job,
I'll
Mike.
I'll say, yeah, thank you. Thank you. What an accomplishment. I'll say this, though. Even if I did, I still don't think I'd climb something like that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it's in my nature. Like if I saw a giant thing to climb, I'd be like, you know what? I'm just going to stay here.
But when you're on drugs, man, everything seems different.
I don't know. People say that, but I don't fully believe them.
I don't know.
I would fall and break my neck before I got anywhere up that pole. You got to be really determined to climb 32 feet.
Yeah.
Like, it's not something you can just, like, scoot up, you know, like, in a minute or two. Like,
right, this is
that's
not...
That's a lot of climbing.
Right, this isn't, like, one of the drunk episodes in Philly after the
right.
Eagles won the Super
right.
Bowl.
This isn't, like, you know, 10 feet or however tall they are. This is, like, three times that height.
Yeah.
Like, he's climbing for a good while.
Right, but with the power of drugs...
the power of drugs compels you!
Right, he did it. Congratulations. All right, and I have one more story here for you to close out the odd news here. I'm going to Georgia in this one, so
okay.
It's like Florida light.
Florida light, yes. Know.
It's close. Here's a wacky story here. After scaling a barbed wire fence, a 19-year-old Georgia man ran across the tarmac at Atlanta's busy airport and pulled himself up onto the wing of a Delta jet and began pounding on the aircraft as shocked passengers watched from outside.
Sometimes I just don't know what to do. And when I don't know what to do, I make that sound because that clears my mind of all obstacles that really aren't there.
Yep.
That would be so terrifying. You just look out the window. Some guy's just like banging on the window. Let me in. Or doing that.
19-year-old. Wow. What a name is this? Jiren? All right. Literally, help me out here.
Okay.
J-H-Y-R-N. What the hell kind of name is that?
Jiren? Jiren?
I don't know.
I don't even know.
All right, these parents need to be arrested. I'm yes. Sorry.
You need at least, what is the Y, the vowel?
Yeah.
What is it, G-H?
J.
Oh, J.
J-H-Y-R-N. Jiren? I don't know. I honestly don't know. Fail. Parents get arrested.
Jiren?
I'm gonna use. Jiren? I'm gonna take over for Thanos here. If you cannot name your children right, you go.
See?
You go away.
Hashtag Thanos did nothing wrong. But this is some of the people that he'd get rid of.
Right. Yeah. We're not doing the random thing. If you can't name your children correctly, you're going away.
What? Jiren is a lovely name.
Jiren? Jiren?
It has to be Jiren, right?
Jiren?
How else would you pronounce the Y?
I don't know.
Would it be Jiren or Jiren?
I'm Jiren. That sounds like a verb. I'm Jiren over here. Oh, my God.
What? I'm Jiren over here?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
What is the action associated with that verb?
You're spazzing out because you need something. Instead of Jonesin, I'm Jiren.
Instead of Jonesin, I'm Jiren.
Oh, my God.
It's like
I'm Jiren over here.
Oh, my God. So he's Jiren on top of the airplane.
Yes. 19-year-old Jiren, I'm going to go with that. 19-year-old Jiren Jones was arrested yesterday afternoon, minutes after he was running up to the airplane, which just arrived from Miami. Jones also at some point stripped to his underwear, so there you go, of course.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Do you know how hot it must be down south right now?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just a matter of practicality. That's not him being weird. He's just trying to stay cool.
He then gestured to passengers while screaming incoherent languages.
Sometimes I just don't know what to do. And when I don't know what to do, I make that sound because it clears my mind of all obstacles that really aren't there.
At one point, the agitated Jones mounted one of the jet's wings and began pacing and banging on the cabin windows as travelers photographed his bizarre antics.
Jeez.
Yeah, this guy is crazy.
That is, oh my gosh. See, now, there's a very simple solution to this. Do you want to know what that is?
What is it?
Just start the plane up.
Oh my God!
Yeah, just take the plane and just start, like, throttling up. That'll get rid of them.
It just landed, though.
Right, so just throttle up, take off, and circle around.
I don't think that's how aviation works.
Sure it is.
I don't think it's not like driving a car.
I've played a lot of Grand Theft Auto. If there's one thing that I learned from that game is you can take off and land on anything.
Yeah, that's not really how it works.
I think that's exactly it. You've never taken off sideways out of a runway?
Jones was subsequently subdued by airport police.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was important.
What was he trying to accomplish? Like, the airplane just landed. Like, it's not like he was trying to get on the plane. Like, the plane just landed, so he's just attacking the giant metal bird.
Yes, that's what he thought it was.
Yeah.
He thought it was down with the metal bird day or something. Jones was subdued by airport police and charged with trespassing, damage to property, and obstruction of law enforcement.
All right, come on. He didn't damage any property. Some dude pounding on a jet isn't going to damage it.
Yes, he's banging on it. Damn it.
Look, right there. See, there's a dent right there. That's millions of dollars. I highly doubt some dude's fist is going to dent an airplane. If some dude's fist can dent an airplane, that airline's got bigger problems than some dude banging on it.
He was also hit with a public indecency count because he was exposing himself to the plane stunned passengers and crew.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Judge set his bond at $18,000, so I don't think he's going to be getting off.
You know what the weirdest part about the story?
Is that?
Besides that part. The weirdest part, though, is that he's just at the airport.
What? Oh, you mean he just dropped there or something?
Right.
He's there?
Well, think about it, Rich. How many times have you gone to the airport when you're not going somewhere? Or when you're not picking or dropping somebody off. You're just there just to hang out.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to go to the airport to hang out today.
Right.
And you get drunk at one of the bars, and you storm onto the runway. Like, that's nobody's idea of a weekend. I'm going to go hang out at the airport. I don't know. Am I wrong?
Well, first off, he's not drunk. He's 19 years old, so he shouldn't be consuming alcohol.
Oh, so he's just a normal 19-year-old.
Yes.
So wait. No, back up. He was on something, though, right?
Doesn't say in the news report.
Huh.
And there goes Mike's theory. Bam.
Hmm. What are the kids up to these days?
Sometimes I just don't know what to do. And when I don't know what to do, I make that sound because that clears my mind of all obstacles that really aren't there.
His mind had no obstacles.
Right. They're on some sort of, they're on the same thing that Gary Busey is on.
This is going to be one of those like segments they have on the news where it's like, is your teen doing the airplane banging? Find out more at 11 about this crazy craze sweeping the teens.
Hashtag airplane banging challenge.
Airplane banging challenge.
Yeah.
Is that what JB is going to do after the death nut?
Oh, no. That's not good. He's going to get arrested.
Now, what you got to do is you got to strip down your underwear, run up, and jump onto that plane that's just landing and start pounding on the wing. That's the challenge.
There you go.
And you only succeed if you don't get shot by airport police.
Well,
that's, I can't believe he's not on anything. No, yeah, you're lying to me. He's got to be on something.
It doesn't. No, he's 19. He's not on alcohol. And
I like how you add in he's 19 as a reason.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm
just, you're like, oh, he's not on anything. You're like, no, he's 19.
No. Well, it doesn't say in the news report. Does not say he's on booze or herb drugs.
He's just a teenager.
Yeah, just a teenager
he's
being a teenager.
Crazy teenager.
Yeah.
I didn't jump onto any airplanes when I was a teenager. I don't know. These kids nowadays.
Yeah.
No respect.
No respect for the airport.
That's right. Back in my day, we respected all the airports. I don't know.
There you go. That's what I have for you this week in the non-fortune cookie odd news. But now let's go over all that we've learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have you learned?
Well, I learned that teens these days are so crazy that I just naturally assumed that they were on drugs and or alcohol.
Yeah, apparently. You just assumed they were all on it.
Well, to be fair, he was naked and jumping on an airplane and banging on the wing.
Oh, I thought you said all teenagers were.
Well... yeah. I just naturally assume the worst in people. I just see a person, I'm like, you're the worst of something. That's not true.
I would be saying that about the Eastern Conference of the NBA right now.
That's true, because that's something we learned, that the Eastern Conference is going to be very, very bad.
Yes.
But the Sixers are going to be very, very good. By default.
By default, yes.
Because there's no competition.
Hooray!
Yay for... lack of parity.
Yay.
Oh, my gosh. Something else I learned is that this episode we debuted a new PSA that through the power of drugs, you can accomplish anything.
That's right. You can climb anything you want.
That's right.
It'll be fine.
It's mostly just climbing things that you'll be able to do on the drugs.
Yes.
But you should still give it a shot. Don't do that.
Yeah, don't listen to us.
Don't listen to me. I'm being silly. But I also learned that the Toys R Us giraffe has started to drink urine.
Yeah.
It's really fallen on some hard times. That's what happens when you don't buy toys.
Yep.
The giraffe has to drink pee.
Yep.
See what you guys did? You didn't buy any toys, and now the giraffe is drinking pee.
Yeah, he's falling on some hard times.
He's a pee-aholic.
Yep.
God. Sad. Speaking of animals, though, I learned, Rich, that you would have a really tough time deciding whether to save an actual human being or an animal.
Correction, just a stupid human being, yes.
In that case, you just choose the animal.
Right.
Yeah. You're like a animal-loving Thanos over there.
Yeah, man. It's cats and dogs, yeah, they're great.
Yeah.
It's so cute.
They are. That's what we learned.
Yes.
Animals are cute, and people are stupid.
That's right.
Yes. Yes.
And there you go. That's what we learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't f***ing know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm f***ed if I know what we did.
Oh, man, and there you go, folks. Another episode for you in the books. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. A lot of fun. A lot of fun to do this show every week. Just a special shout-out to... your dad, Frank Costanzo, for joining us, as is tradition, for the 4th of July podcast every year.
Yeah.
Always good to connect and hear how he's doing.
We always love having a chat with him. I got to say, you know what? It's tough for him to come on because he's not used to doing the recording, and He gets kind of nervous, but he always does it because he loves being on the podcast for us and for you guys. So big shout out and thank you to my dad.
Yes. If you want to see more of Mike's dad or more of us, check out our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. All you got to do is search for The Crispy Noodle. And if you follow us on Instagram as well, we're at The Crispy Noodle Podcast on Instagram as well.
That's right. Make sure to subscribe to our channel on YouTube where you can get interviews, videos, best bits, and a whole lot more. We have that Death Nut Challenge video up there, so go check that out.
Yes, that's right. It is up and running. So if you haven't seen the video, go check it out.
It's great stuff, especially the behind-the-scenes stuff that you captured, Rich. Really good stuff. So go check that out. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher, where you get the latest episodes downloaded for free every Thursday. So make sure you search for, download, and subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher.
That's right. We also have a SoundCloud page where we have mini noodles and best bits of the show. If you want to listen to Mr. Costanzo's infamous sausage rant, that's actually a separate track that we have on the SoundCloud page. So if you want that on demand and show your family and friends how crazy it is, there you go. You can have it on demand. It's right there on our SoundCloud page.
That's right. So many ways to get in touch with and share the Crispy Noodle Podcast. But if you want to send us your own sausage clips or anything for that matter, you can find us individually on Twitter. I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. There you go. That's going to wrap up this week's episode. Thank you for tuning in. This has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys
later.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Hello, comrade. You are receiving transmission from Mother Russia. I am here to tell you, best podcast of 2018 is going to be Crispy Noodle Podcast, okay? This is the kind of thing that tickle my ball when nothing else will tickle my ball in Siberia, okay? Crispy Noodle Podcast is best thing for 2018. You listen to Crispy Noodle Podcast. This is the show that is tickling my balls. The Crispy Noodle Podcast 2018 is you must listen, okay? Okay, yes, good. Goodbye, comrade.